This is Corolla Digital. Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Welcome to Adam and Drew. We's back, and we're going at least a couple times a week. I think it's Thursday and Sunday coming up in 2013. Good to see you, Drew.
Good to see you, Adam. How's the new year?
Good. Excellent. Drew, you're fired up?
I am fired up. I got a lot of stuff. First of all, I want to talk about how you got the finger coming into the show.
Yeah.
You've got these guys well-trained.
Had to train Chris Maxpana on the finger thing.
That you're on the air. Phew! Fingers
I
at
tell
you.
People all the time, that's why I got into this business.
You've said that for years.
Every 80s movie I saw where the guy got to go on the air, boom, he got the finger, and now everyone just gives you like the nod, or they go, it's kind of a weird humanistic thing where they go, you can start whenever you want. We're not really wired that way. We need to hear a pistol go off, yeah. or a 3, 2, 1, or get the finger.
Sound,
I think
action.
We're much better. There's nothing worse, like when you're on a set or something and they go, we're rolling, you can just start whenever you want. It's always a weird start.
Yeah.
It's a funny start.
There's no start.
Yeah.
You're sort of rolling into it.
Somebody needs to cue me, yeah. And then I can start. Drew, you said you're on a diet.
I'm on a diet.
How's your diet work?
I don't eat.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how I know I'm okay. I'm hungry.
Uh-huh.
And then I try to eat so much that I don't get full. I eat good, you know, balanced, low fat, high protein. But I don't try not to get full so that I'm like hungry an hour later. That tells me my body's like using its resources.
Uh-huh.
So I'm hungry all the effing time and it makes it a little bit
easy, Drew. I found that most people say this and that the number one, you know, hey, you used to be fat. Why are you not fat anymore? Stop drinking soda. And started walking is usually the number one answer. It's insane that there probably have been more books written about dieting than there have been about World War II, World War One, and Vietnam.
Oh, for sure. Combined.
And every war combined.
Yeah.
Yet it's the biggest no shit Sherlock question that's ever been asked. I mean, my 6-year-old knows eat an apple, don't eat a donut, don't play video games, and go run around in the yard, and you'll not get fat.
But I think the thing that people don't talk about in terms of the obesity epidemic now is that people are so unregulated emotionally that they use food to regulate their emotions, and then they can't contain, they have no frontal lobe function, they can't contain their desires. They can't be uncomfortable.
Well,
it's too miserable.
I must say this. I was at Disneyland the other day, and I'll tell you. Yeah.
Oh.
I'll tell you. Hold on a second. Let me tell you. One of the first things I noticed is a guy who has not been to Disneyland in a while. Percentage of the employees? No, fat people. I understood. Every third person is in one of those LARC, you know, motorized wheelie things. Most of that is just to get to the front of the line. Because, by the way, you're not able to get around on your own, but then when you get to the front of the line, you can stand up and get on the Matterhorn and essentially be battered for 5 minutes. That's the roughest roller coaster in the world. It's like being gang raped. Dry. All right. I still don't think they're going to change your name. But then you get off that thing, you get back on your scooter. Like, I mean...
Dry gang rape instead of Matterhorn?
Well, what I'm saying is when you're... when you're elderly, you're decrepit, you're not, you know, my dad's 81.
Daddy, I want to go on the dry anal rape.
Yeah, see, it doesn't
have the same
ring.
Doesn't quite.
No, what I'm saying is my dad's 81. His health is okay. He's not getting along as well as he used to get along, but he's not in a wheelchair.
He's
but
all good from all the stuff
He's all good, basically, but I think so. But he wouldn't ride the Matterhorn. He's too old. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But he could walk up to the Matterhorn and he could stand in line at the Matterhorn. So why do you got to take a scooter to something that pummels you?
Just to switch to your dad for a second, if he had just avoided gluten and taken vitamins and eaten right and watched your sugar, he'd live to 120.
Right.
People deny aging. They deny it. Isn't it weird?
Well, as we always say, or as you always used to say, people would come to you and go, you know, my hip hurts. And you'd go, yeah, well, you got a problem with your hip. And they go, I've never had a problem with my hip. You were 22.
Yeah, you're 82 now.
Now you're 82 and you have a problem with your hip.
I've had many over the years 80-year-olds go, well, how could this be? I've never had pneumonia before. I've never had arthritis before. Yeah, never before.
Right.
Got that.
So I was not surprised by the obesity. And not only that, you know, young. Like when you see, you know, when you see the 63-year-old chick walking around who's got the extra 30 pounds on her, 50 pounds on her, okay. But when you see the 19-year-olds, lots of them. Lots of them. And I always notice, especially the women, guys can go ahead and play nose guard for the football team or still occasionally get laid, or even if they have to, just buy a prostitute. But the fat chicks socially, and I also started doing a map. So a couple things. A, many of the employees over at Disney are not husky and not fat, but morbidly obese. Like, I mean, when you're talking about women that are, and men, but I always say I notice the women because it impacts their life socially
you
more greatly.
For them.
Well, yeah, when you see a
20. Maybe that's attractive now. Maybe
it's funny because they're paired up.
With a guy?
No, with another fat chick. So there's fucking, it's really like, it's like tag team wrestling from the 80s. The two chicks who, run the, you know, Thunder Mountain at Disneyland is going to kick the shit out of the honky tonk man and,
Bear Mountain.
Yeah, Bear, whatever. All right. The point is this. They're fat. And so there's no contrast between the two of them. Mm. Like if there was, what they should really do, I mean, honestly, they should put the thin ones with the fat ones so that the fat ones have something to look at.
Some motivation.
Other than themselves. Well, honestly, I mean, I swear
For health reasons.
I swear to God, this is how we're wired. Like, I know my writing partner, Kevin Hench, I know he's on a diet or he's watching his calories when we go out to breakfast and we write once a month or something. We sit in the same diner in the same corner in the same place. When he's on a diet, he orders the same omelet every time, but he says no cottage fries, cottage cheese. Mm-hmm. And that's when he's on a diet.
Yeah.
And if I'm sitting across from him, I love the cottage fries, a little Tabasco and a little ketchup in there, and it's nothing better to me than the potatoes. Somehow the notion that potatoes are bad for you is the idea that corn and potatoes, every dietitian.
Humanity survives.
I know. Every dietitian is like corn, potatoes, stay away. Okay, but the point is this. When he orders the cottage cheese and the no toast, I will oftentimes order the cottage cheese. If he orders the cottage fries, I'm like, bring them.
No, social motivation. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. So what Disney should do is take the skinny ones and pair them with the fat ones. Now, I'm sure that would just make the skinny one fat in 6 months. But there is an element of sitting next to someone who's thin or sitting next to, like I said, when you go to a restaurant and you're just eyeballing that Monte Cristo. Is Monte Cristo? Cristo. Monte Cristo, sorry.
I made it sandwich?
Fatter. Yeah, the sandwich. Monte Cristo is the fatter cousin of the Monte Cristo. You're staring at it, and you're looking on the menu, and then the guy across the table gets the salad.
Yeah.
You tend to go with the turkey.
Well, do you notice even today, because I'm really trying not to eat, normally you and I attack that snack table.
Yeah.
And today we both walked past it.
Right.
We had black coffee.
Right. So the people, the scary part is the 21, 23, 25-year-old chicks who are working at Disneyland are not. And also remember this, Drew. Mm. Be honest. Mm. Those days when you're out on the hunt, you know what I'm saying?
I remember them. A distant memory, though.
There was always the chick who was a little chunky, but not fat.
Yeah.
Just a little chunky. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And had a little extra bosom on her, which was a plus, but a little extra ass on her, which is not a plus unless you're a black guy. And you were like, But there's always that chick. Do you guys remember this chick? I'm looking into the booth.
These guys
here.
Are young. They remember it like it's now.
No, but what I'm saying is there was the chick. There were the hot chicks or chicks that looked great in their bikinis, and then there was that chick who was like cute in the face, but she was just like 15, 20 pounds away from being hot. Okay. You know, and it was kind of understood. Like, it's like almost a shame. She had beautiful eyes, but just kind of a big ass, you know. And that chick wasn't 100 pounds overweight. That chick was 10, 15 pounds overweight. Like, she'd be smoking at 125, 130, but she was more 140.
Okay.
And therefore, blowjobs only, and everyone felt sorry for her. That chick who was 10, 15 pounds overweight, just could never really get past that mark. You know what I mean? Like, every once in a while, she'd drop a couple of pounds, but she'd quickly get up to that fighting weight. So cute, but just always a little extra meat on her and just enough to get her off the sort of desirable chart for most of the guys. That chick now is 245 pounds. I mean,
but now listen,
they're huge now. It's not. They weren't huge, right? It was just like, oh, she's got a little extra ass on her. But, she's a little chubby. Like, it's just not quite what you're looking for.
Is it possible? You know, women really set the sort of tone for what's attractive. And you know what I mean? Is it possible things are changing and that guys are sort of into that stuff? Because there are those guys that are into it. They are into it. And those are the ones that are into it. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. But until Sports Illustrated or Victoria's Secret has one of these chicks show up on a beach one of their,
Enough said.
You know
Touché.
What I'm saying?
Touché.
Yeah, that's all. That's who decides. So these women, like I said, you know, they're not 165 pounds, which is considered a little bit husky. They're 235.
Yeah.
And it's insane at their age. Now, when it comes to food, as I've said, it's too fucking cheap. It's too abundant. I mean, the only thing that hasn't moved in the last – I mean, it's insane. Like, you go – you know when during the election, they're like, you know when Obama took office, gas was $1.93 a gallon? And you're like, really? $1.85 or something? You're like, what? Under $2? Yeah. I don't even remember those days.
Yeah.
Well, now it's $4, four and change if you live in California, whatever. But a Taco Bell taco, still 39 cents on Tuesdays.
Well, kids go to bed hungry every night, Adam. We're starving. There's hungry kids everywhere.
Wait a minute.
You can stand at a Subway and get 50 cents and go buy a meal from Del Taco.
Oh, well, when you say Subway, you mean panhandle.
Yeah, you can panhandle in the corner, whatever. I mean,
that's the way Drew rolls. There is no doubt in my mind that you could go to any metropolitan city in this country and panhandle your way. It's be an interesting experiment. You could panhandle your way to a big-time meal, at least calorically, a big meal in under 15 minutes.
And do it every day without any end in sight.
Oh, yeah. If you wanted to go to a Taco Bell, but if you wanted to go to Shakey's during Bunch of Lunch or whatever, I mean, first off, I might give you $5 if I'm walking in that place, but you could panhandle it in under half an hour. And I wonder if you could have said the same 100 years ago or 50 years ago.
No.
I mean, you were panhandling all day to buy a loaf of bread and can of beans, right? If you could get by with it.
If you could find it, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you'd find a way to cook it and find a way to, you know.
Yeah, people were giving you nickels and pennies and stuff.
Ooh, it's very different.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the point. Are we starving or are we obese?
We're obese. I've said it many times.
Why when I hear hunger sort of commercials, I get confused. I don't understand. How can a third of children go to bed hungry and be obese?
Well, maybe let's define go to bed hungry, because I feel like I wake up hungry, I go to bed hungry, and I go through the day hungry.
Well,
like, the only time I'm not hungry is when I'm not eating, physically when I'm eating, and even then I'm thinking about other foods sometimes.
And by the way, that's when I'm not hungry, I'm gaining weight. I need to be hungry or else I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
Like, I'm hungry right now.
Yeah, me too. But this whole thing of, a third of Americans go to bed hungry, and they just show some kid. I've looked around. There's no way we're simultaneously getting hungrier and fatter. It's got to be one or the fucking other, right?
Right.
we're the only people stupid enough to make these proclamations. Go to fucking Disneyland, see the people that work there, and see, you want to see a nice cross section of America, go to Disneyland. You have people from all over the country. They're walking around. They're all huge. And like I said, the people that work there are huge as well. And I was thinking about it from an insurance standpoint or whatever standpoint. I was like, every ride I'm getting on, there's a bigger chick. And like I said, more women than men. And that's something that's new and weird and sad, which is, it used to be a 23-year-old chick was like, hey, man, I got to look good because I got to get myself a man to marry me in the next 5 years.
But what we're seeing is I've got to keep this big thing around me to protect me from people so I don't get abused the way I was as a kid, which we know, you and I know, that's the majority of this shit.
Right? Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, how could abuse have gone up that dramatically in the past 10 years?
Because it feeds on itself.
You're right.
Abusers, become abused multiple people. It's just
yeah, but do you really think all those, and I'm with you on that, women doing that thing where they take themselves out of the game. It's literally self-inflicted wound to get out of Vietnam. It's if you ever see the great movie Pepillon, the great Steve McQueen, he threw himself down the gangplank. Like when they were getting off the boat onto like Devil's Island or wherever they were going,
yes. He
literally just said, fuck it, I'm taking a shoulder roll and I'm going to get thrown in the hospital because I can't go out into the swamp. I'll get malaria. So there's the self-inflicted burrito.
Yeah.
And we've dealt with this on Loveline where women go, I'm going to fatten myself up so I won't be looked at sexually and I can keep intimacy out of my life.
And maybe it isn't even just abuse. Maybe it's just the abandoning dads and all that shit. There's such messed up families and people are unregulated is the point I'm making. So food becomes the way of regulating emotions. And if you can't regulate, it's hard to contain impulses like hunger.
I think obviously – it's a combination. It's a calico of problems.
Calico.
I just made that up.
Indeed.
But I picture a calico cat. It's got a lot of different colors
on it. A new
word.
How nice.
A calico of problems. It's not one. It's not a Persian or a tabby. It's a calico of problems. Get that in the Urban Dictionary. Point is this. A lot of it is the shame. We keep getting back to that topic, but
of shame.
When you're working and you stand next to a fat chick all day and you're fat and then it's time to go to lunch, what kind of decisions are you making?
Oh, you want to shame people. I see. You want to shame them into better decisions. All right.
Here's what I'm saying. Whether it's being fat or whether it's not paying taxes, if you're the only guy in the village who's fat and you're the only guy in the village who's not paying taxes, that's going to be rough village for you. You're not going to get laid. You're not going to get good seats for whenever the choir comes into town. And you're going to be shunned a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But if the number of villagers who don't pay taxes and or are fat are outnumbering the number of villagers who are skinny and pay taxes – They're in a whole lot of incentive.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Anymore.
Social pressure is real.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that is the only thing ultimately that keeps us in line, I argue.
Mm.
There's no laws against getting fat. Bloomberg can outlaw the 16-ounce or over 16-ounce soda all he wants. I mean, there are little things you can do, put the caloric counts up at the fast food places.
That's good.
I agree with that.
That was helpful.
That's helpful. It helps me when I go in there and buy a burger. And I go, Jesus Christ, chicken sandwich, more calories than the double patty.
Yeah.
And it's nice. And I think they should do that. I'm all for that. But I'm saying, ultimately, there's nothing that keeps people in line like, I don't want to fuck you, fatty. I'm talking to you, Drew.
The military had to use that. To keep guys in line.
Well, I will not hang out with you. I don't want to be your boyfriend or your girlfriend. I don't want to be engaged to you.
Right.
I don't want to start a family with you because you're unattractive to me and you're unhealthy.
Right.
Now, that is the ultimate get in line. Straighten your shit out. And that is gone because whereas huge people used to be a novelty. Remember that was a novelty?
It was a circus act.
Well, I mean, let's just get personal for a second.
Okay.
We, back in the day, and you now, have an agent, a manager. His name's Howard.
Yeah.
He's a big guy.
Yeah.
He's always been a big guy. Back when he was my manager and Jimmy's manager and your manager and back in the day, it was a novelty. Like, hey, here comes big old Howard. Hey, don't eat the table. Just what's on it, Howard. You know what I mean? Like, hey, it's Howard. He's a big guy. Howard's not so big anymore.
Right. He got under control.
No.
Operations.
No. I mean, yes. But no. It never has any idea what I'm saying.
No.
We've caught up to Howard. Howard is not a novelty. How do you never know what I'm talking about? Howard's still a fat ass. Don't get me wrong. Not in any way implying that Howard is not a fat ass. No, Howard had an operation, and Howard has dropped a few pounds.
Yeah.
But Howard's still a big guy.
Yeah, yeah. But not relative to everybody else. Yeah, you're right.
Not a novelty.
You don't even notice it.
He was like our fat guy. He was our fat guy. He's not our fat guy anymore.
You're disappointed?
A little bit.
Yeah, you're upset.
Well, I could walk through Disneyland with Howard. And Howard, when he was at his heaviest, got his operation like 98, something like that, 99, whenever it was, 98, something like that. But I could have walked through Disneyland with Howard when he was at his biggest, circa 1997, and I may have been able to point out three people that were bigger than he was after walking that place for 6 hours.
Right.
He'd be in the skidoo.
Yeah.
You know, he'd be in the Lark scooter, but I'd be walking the place. I could walk Howard through that place now, and I point out, I'd stop counting at 500 of people that were bigger than he was.
Yeah, yeah.
So Howard used to be the fat guy. Howard no longer the fat guy. Not because Howard is fit guy, but because everyone has caught up. I could go and find the 20-something, you know, Howard's a 50-something-year-old dude.
Yeah.
Go and find the 20-something-year-old chicks who are paired up riding, doing half these rides, and put them next to Howard. They dwarf him.
Isn't it weird that at the same time, we're hungry, we're fat, we're hungry, we're fat, but we also have, you know, shows obsessed with losing weight and, you know, all these media sort of circuses that built on the preoccupation with this, and yet nothing, it's getting worse.
The way to lose weight. Forget about the books. Forget about the dieting. It's all that. But the problem, I know this sounds trite, but the diet says temporary. I had an interesting thought just semantically. I mean, if that made that one up too. But listen, we were talking to my kids, and my wife was like, they're on winter break. And I said, I like Christmas vacation.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, they call it winter break. And, of course, because we'll not sleep until we destroy everything that's good about our society. We'll just not sleep.
Yeah.
The fucking left will not sleep until they tear down every fucking decent thing from every childhood and put a fucking rule or a new regulation or a new term because somehow you're hurting Jewish people or indigenous people or whatever by saying Christmas fucking vacation. But I latched on to something. I said, it's not the word Christmas in winter, which I still have a problem with because I like Christmas. Winter sounds bad.
Yeah.
It was the winter of my discontent with the fucking left and their stupid labeling. But winter doesn't sound like a great time. And you get rid of Christmas.
But it's not even a vacation. It's a break.
But I got way. Yes. I took umbrage with vacation and break. Yeah. Taking a break means I'm so fucking tired of digging this ditch or shoveling this shit, I'm going to take a break.
And by the way, the break could mean keep up on your homework during the break. You're not on a vacation, dude. You're on a break.
But catch up. The fact that you say break suggests that you're doing something you don't want to do.
And you're going
to
keep doing it.
At some place you don't want to be. Yeah. So not only is winter suck ass, but break sucks ass too.
Yeah.
God fucking forbid they let a 6-year-old take a Christmas vacation.
Yeah.
No, it's now a winter break. So anyway, agree. Everyone's fat. Everyone's miserable. Christmas is dead. What else?
Well, I was going to say there's a couple. You know, do you ever think about what motivates you to get on a diet?
Assuming
the diets are okay. Yeah, you make a point that we should just be living a certain kind of life. I agree. But, you know, my age, it gets ahead of you.
Here's the thing. There's two things that everyone needs to do. A, they need to get a pair of pants.
Skinny pants?
The tight pants where you feel the pinch.
Skinny pants. Got it.
Yeah. And don't break down and go, fuck it, I'll get the 38s and the same whatever. No, the pinch.
Yeah.
The pinch of the pants.
Yeah.
You'll have to – I'll tell you honestly – every guy, this would cure. There's three ways to cure this. A, every Friday, go to work in your underpants day. But fucking believe me, on Thursday night when you're thinking about ordering those nachos, you're like, I'm just going to have this slim fat shake.
I used to work on the beach. I was a lifeguard. You're
fucking forced to.
Yeah.
Right. So go to work. Forget about casual Friday. Go to work in your underpants Friday. That would eliminate it. I would say if once every other week, once every 2 weeks, twice a month, every man was forced to get in a suit, a nice fitting suit, a suit
tailored
that was
suit.
Tailored for him when he was not fat, he'd get into that suit and do that thing where you have to do the double button.
Yeah.
What is it with suit pants that they need three fucking buttons? Like, regular pants just have one button. Does anyone ever go out in jeans? What happened? Oh, they exploded at the mall, and my dick and balls were just hanging out. It was fucking horrible. It's all over the security cameras. I think it's up on YouTube now. Like, has anyone ever had a problem with fucking jeans or sweatpants or anything?
The flap. The flap went inside, and then the two on top.
I don't know if guys get raped in suits or what. They got the weird flap one that you have to shove your own fingers in your own abdomen. But like I said, does anyone have a story where they were just wearing Levi's and they're like, what happened? Oh, man, I was just out with these dudes. I was just wearing my button-up Levi's and, you know, fucking button went flying, crotch exploded, pants around the ankles.
I was being raped by every guy there.
Like, all right, so suit pants have the one, you got to get to that one button on the inside, and then on the outside they have that hook thing.
Yeah. And then a button and then a hook.
Yeah, it's a button
and a hook.
So
two buttons and a hook.
So you do that move where you're like, come on, you're trying to pinch it, you know, okay.
How many times do you think, oh, shit, this button's going to blow out? I got to lose some weight.
I have thought, do not exhale. Get the hook on before you exhale. Because if you exhale while the button's just hooked, I'll blow it out.
Yeah.
So every guy twice a month should be forced to climb in to his well-tailored suit and get up and go to a function.
Go out
to dinner. Go out and do something in that. Every woman should have to do it in an evening dress.
Ooh. Do me a favor. Online, there's a picture of me in like circa 1985 at K-Rock back in the day. Put that picture up here. I'll show you. That's another source of motivation. Look at yourself.
Oh, yeah.
In a different way.
Well, I was going to say the third. So
it's me standing up with some headphones on.
Go to work in your underpants day. Go to
Amazon.com. Click the Amazon.
No. Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah. Go to work in your underpants.
Look how thin I am.
Get in your suit.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Right?
Doctor, who's that?
Hell?
Space and Scott Mason picture,
yeah,
too?
Yeah.
And is that the poor man?
Yeah.
Circa 1985?
Yeah.
Wow.
Look, that's like 28-inch pants.
Wow. Yeah.
That would be a ball.
You can
explode.
By the way, you go to Adam and Drew page at adamcarolla.com and look at that, and you can click through the Amazon link if you want to show us a little love. Third way to do this is it's a little farther fetched, but get a TV show. Because, or just go, like what happens with me, this is, you know, why I, you know, don't just, I'm married, I do a podcast, I'm a comedian, I should be morbidly obese. But what happens is they go, oh, you're doing the Tonight Show next week. And you go, I better take it easy.
You ever going to shave, by the way, speaking of doing television?
I'm
you going for Santa Claus?
I'm starting to like it. I'm starting to like it.
Your kids like it?
They don't give a shit.
No, Santa Claus. They're going for Santa. They think you're Santa Claus.
I can darken it up before I go on TV.
Does it match your ass? It's got to match your ass.
My ass hair is black as coal. mocking me.
Why is Chris like giving the noise? Yeah. That's what I'm talking
about. Well, you saw me when my jeans exploded the other day. I made the mistake of coming to work with just a single snap jean, just one button, not the inner hook, and you know, the inner button and the outer
so
hook.
Your ass was like Fabio, hair flying everywhere, blowing in the
exploded.
Wind.
Yeah. All right. So here's how you lose weight.
Wait. Before you go there, let's just break it down a little bit. What motivates you when it's time to lose weight? What motivates you? What's the feeling that changes directions for you?
It's literally just a shame.
It's shame for you. Okay.
It's just I saw myself on O'Reilly and my head looked like a fucking pumpkin.
Okay. Will you talk about that?
Really
did shame you a bit.
No, it just you look like shit, you know? You got to see yourself on TV because fucking TV.
Did he cry when that happened?
Adds so much weight to you.
No,
you look
I know.
Much bigger on TV that it's just. I've told you my Kirstie Alley thing.
Oh, yeah.
The reason Kirstie Alley was able to get obese is because her head never changed. She would show up on like Oprah in just bigger and bigger and bigger dresses, but her face always looked the same. So
and
when
neck too, you gotta have a neck that doesn't get
neck
bigger.
Neck and face look the same.
You gotta have a collarbone and a neck, and then you're fine.
Kirstie Alley's ass got 6 inches wider every other week, but her fucking face stayed exactly the same.
Yeah.
And when your face stays, and then you go on the Tonight Show, you just get a bigger flowing gown, but you don't notice it because there are cameras on your face. It's not up your ass.
Yeah,
it's just on your face. So that's why. There's a lot of people that is. Conversely,
I love it that way.
Most chicks with eating disorders on television have the big head syndrome. Their face plumps up first. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What's her name? I'm telling you, what's her name? Gold.
Oh, yeah.
From.
Yes.
I don't know.
I know you're talking about.
Yeah, I know, but no one else knows what I'm talking about. She had a famous Tracy Gold, whatever her name was.
Tracy Gold, yeah.
She had it. There's some chicks who, even at normal, healthy weight, have a little bit of a plump face.
Mm-hmm.
Those chicks, when they see themselves on TV, go, oh, my God, I look fat.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just see your face. You don't see that you're in decent shape. You just see you look fat in the face. So they have to get abnormally skinny to get their head down to that. Juliana Rancic. Is that her, too?
Oh, she had an eating disorder?
I talked to, and she said, I'm have to, like, stay rail thin.
Because
and I realized she has, like, a full face in order to get her face to look versus those who don't have the full face whose ass can get as wide as they want.
Feeling that I get, you said shame, I get disgust.
Mm-hmm.
And disgust is a very powerful motivator.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to feel disgust or shame, you have to see yourself as you actually are.
Yeah.
So there's sort of two steps.
Right.
Because I've heard of people that suddenly lose a lot of weight. They go, I was walking past the, you know, the window in Macy's and I saw a reflection of myself. Oh, shit, that's me. Oh,
right.
My God.
Right.
It's been that way for years, but all of a sudden I saw it. So you have to, A, see it, and B, have a feeling about it. And disgust or shame, people avoid those feelings. Those are powerful motivators.
It's going on now, and like I said, when they pair you with Tweedle Dumpy next to you at the Matterhorn, there is no reason to lose it. But I have never seen so many young women this big. And like I said, not 165 pounds, 225. Mm. All right. The key and the easiest way to lose weight, and it's the way to do it, to me, the most painless way to do it. The diet, again, just suggests you're on a short-term program.
Mm.
Like you're on a program.
Yeah.
I'm on a diet, which suggests you're going to be off that diet at some point. And all that master cleanse and all that stuff's bullshit. The point is this. You literally take your portions and you just sort of shrink them down a little bit. You just bring them down. Like when you're eating, you kind of double down on the broccoli and shrink that mac and cheese when you're filling that plate.
Yeah.
You won't be that miserable about it because you'll still be kind of getting what you want, but you just don't.
Well, you know what's interesting?
Keep piling on.
Yeah, patients that take certain psychiatric medications called psychotropic medications, it enhances their hunger a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they're ravenous, so they're not quite easily as full as they were. They get hungry more easily. They'll gain 75 pounds.
Right.
You only need to make a slight adjustment and things keep going.
Well, that's the other thing, too. If you put on 3 pounds a month, which is easily done over the course of a year, you're at 36 pounds, and that's a big difference.
People don't realize how slight the adjustments have to be.
Yeah.
Just be a little bit hungry and not so full. And you could make a big difference in your body weight.
Let's take a quick break. We have your calls waiting. I think his daughter may be using heroin. Ended a 5-year relationship. Lots of good questions coming up. We'll do that right after this.
Available now from Corolla Digital. An evening with Adam Carolla and Dennis Prager, Philadelphia and Redondo Beach. 4 hours of stimulating discussion.
Maybe it's affluence. We have it so good that if people aren't frightened of something, they don't feel they're fully alive.
Uncensored audience questions.
All right, so can we put the lights up a little bit? Line up at the sides if you'd like to ask about anything, as I say on my own.
Wow.
Anything under the sun.
And hilarious commentary.
Well, the truth is, American ethnic groups get along so well. Look at you and me.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are you?
I am a old black blues musician.
See?
Episcopalian.
I didn't even notice that. That's how healthy it is.
Only $7.99 through the store at AdamCarolla.com or on iTunes.
Off to the phones we go. First, let me tell you guys, we're going to be in Santa Barbara coming up February 16th at the Libero Theater. Drew, don't belch when I'm talking. Denver Paramount Theater, Saturday, March the 2nd. Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center, Saturday, April 13th. And Napa Uptown Theater on Saturday, May 18th. So if you want to come see us reunited, come on out. And Elizabeth.
Oh, heroin call left.
Oh, man. Probably OD'd. Elizabeth?
Yes?
What's going on?
Oh, hi. How are you guys?
Good.
We're good.
So basically, I was in a relationship for 5 years, and it ended over a year ago, but I still, like, I don't want to be in a relationship, and I don't know, like, but I know that I shouldn't feel that way at this point.
Right. Elizabeth, whatever caused you to enter a relationship at the ripe old age of 16 or 17 and cling to it for 5 years is this, and I'm sure it was not the world's greatest relationship, but you clung to it nonetheless. And maybe you idealize it now, whatever. But I'm sure.
Well, Elizabeth is 23.
Yeah, so a year ago it ended a 5-year relationship.
Right.
So she clung to this thing for 5 years, and whatever caused you to do that is the same thing that's causing you now to be so shattered that you dare not enter another relationship. So we would guess that, what, dad left at 2? That was the first shattering experience?
No, I swear, my parents are actually still married.
Say, Drew.
Yeah.
This is a great time to use it. Yeah, but still.
Yeah, but still.
Let's reenact that. Drew, you say dad left at age 2.
Let's guess that
Elizabeth,
dad left.
You jump in with my parents are still married, and then Drew, use the yeah, but still.
Okay. So my guess is dad abandoned when you were like the first abandonment, shattering?
Actually, my parents are still married.
Yeah, but still.
I'd give it a beat.
Give it more beat? Okay, try it again.
One more time. Okay. I'll cue you this time.
You're going to cue me?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'd imagine that the first shattering abandonment was dad.
Actually, my parents are still married.
Yeah, but still.
There you go. It's a tie. It's now a tie. You can take anything from a loss to a tie with a well-placed yeah, but still. I wasn't getting that off of you, but being in a relationship from, 16, 17 to, 22, that is your entire adult life, and that's a big deal. And chicks can do that, and so can guys.
Of course, but I'm not being critical or saying, oh, that's unhealthy. I'm saying whatever caused you to do that is also causing you to have this reaction. And what your head is telling you, it's like, oh, this is the greatest relationship in the world. I'm so shattered by it. I'm never going to love again, which is not true.
Is that what she's saying?
Well, I guess.
Well, at first I felt that way. But now I'm just like all that for nothing. Like, I don't want to do all that again. I don't know.
Right. It's a flip side of the same coin, right?
What's going on with your life? Because I've usually found this mirrors your feelings about your relationships oftentimes mirror how your life is going. I mean, when your job sucks and you're, you know.
Yeah, that's another reason why I'm starting to get worried, because I got a good job back in September, and I love it, and I still have it, and, like, everything else is going good, and I'm like, well, I'm single, but I want to be, but...
How's your weight? How's your weight doing?
It's good. Mm-hmm. I'm not one of those people at Disneyland.
Okay, all right. Well...
But when I go to bars and stuff, and I talk to guys, and I'm just staring at them, and I'm like, why am I talking to this? I don't...
You know what, again, right.
Like it's this. I don't know.
Yeah, it's the same phenomenon. Now, I'm just guessing. Again, we only get a few minutes with people in these environments. But this sort of goes in the zone of love addiction. And I think if you read the book, there are two books I'd recommend to you, and that women really get a lot out of. I mean, this is, normally my point of view is, you got to go to therapy, you got to rebuild attachments and stuff like that. But sometimes not with this. Sometimes just understanding where, because you sound so confused by all this, if you get a little more understanding of what motivates this, where sort of I started this conversation, same stuff that caused you to cling, it's the same reason that you don't want, that you're avoiding now. Love addiction, love avoidance, flip side of the same coin. There's a book called Facing Love Addiction by Pia Melody. I strongly recommend you read that. And another book called Women Who Love Too Much. Again, sort of more story-oriented, gets you involved in this topic. And you can understand, where love addiction, love avoidance come from and why you flip back and forth between the two and how to find a more healthy, happy zone. You understand what I'm saying? Where it's not, so big and so intense.
Yeah.
It's
just also, yeah. Elizabeth, some of this is just – act as if, you're up in your head. You're probably overthinking this. Go out, go online, find a guy that you're attracted to. When a guy comes around and kind of flips your cookie, you'll know.
Don't mistake intensity for love.
All right, but also give me two, three celebrity dudes that you wouldn't mind taking a roll in the hay with. Other than myself.
You?
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Other than Adam. He said other than Adam.
Dr. Drew. No, I don't.
All right, hold on. Let's talk about Dr. Drew for a second.
Really?
Honestly, Elizabeth, you like Dr. Drew. He's easy on the eyes.
Oh, absolutely.
If Drew said, hey, it's trophy wife time, and, I've always wanted to live in Bethesda, and I'm moving out there. I want to be near the Mayo Clinic. Is that in Minnesota?
The army thing is in Bethesda.
Yeah. All right.
NIH. By the NIH.
Yeah, that's where I want to be. That's where I'm doing my work. I need a young bride. I want someone to make me happy. Let's not start too fast, but a little oral while making a decision would be nice.
She's a little old at 23.
A little old at 23, but she passed herself off for a 19-year-old. I'm saying if that happened, you'd be excited, right?
Yeah, that's true.
You date Drew, so it's not like there's a guy. It's not like there's no guy out there for you.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that's an interesting point, too.
It's kind of about finding the right guy, because you could just go ahead and go online, and you could probably find 20 of your favorite male. Ryan Gosling decided he was done with whoever he's currently banging and wanted you to move out to Hollywood and live in his mansion. You'd be on the next fucking flight, right?
But be careful with that. That guy could result in more intensity,
Okay, but I'm just saying... You're not meeting the right guys. You need your cookie flipped. Just get out there. You're too up in your head. Just fucking get out there and meet a guy who likes into the stuff you're into.
Good luck, Elizabeth. Thanks for that call. Hey, listen, Adam, before we go to the next call, what just happened with this carpet?
You were on it,
then I was on it, then what the hell?
No, what happens is we had to take the studio and Drew-proof it because he likes to bang the microphone. You bang on there, it's like you're at a wedding and someone's going to make a speech or something, and a thing where you tap on the glass with your knife, or you should be saying huzzah or excelsior. It's like when they have those Viking meetings in those old movies, and like boom 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 boom. So you bang your microphone on the countertop.
Yep,
so we had to get some carpet swatch for that.
Yeah.
Then you bang your phone on the countertop,
this one.
Console top. So we had to get a carpet swatch for that. Then we had to get another carpet swatch for you banging your mug. Does Nerf make coffee mugs? Because I think we could streamline this whole
thing. But so I've been dutifully putting my shit on the carpet.
Now,
and all of a sudden, your cup was on my carpet.
I put my stuff down on my multitude of buck slips. I have these 3.5 by 9-inch cardboard strips that I bring with me. I bring a pen and those with me when I walk the dog, when I go to Disneyland, when I go anywhere, make love. It does not matter. That fucking buck slip comes to me. Every once in a while, I was like, hold your forehead still. Let's get through this. I got to read this.
Sorry.
Yeah, you're right. And I bring them with me everywhere I go, and I make notes everywhere I go. And then I bring them in here, and I have just huge piles of stuff. Some of it is shit I need to do. Some of it is jokes. Some of it's ideas I want to share with you people. And I was getting my buck slips in order because as I go, I cross off stuff I highlight stuff, and I didn't have the buck slip to put my mug down on.
And I noticed you got scared, though, for a second. Like, you went, oh, shit, he's going to put well, – he's going to knock. He's going to do this.
Yes, that's right.
I saw the fear in your eyes for a second.
That was my great
fear. I want you to know something. My opening volley here in the first 5 minutes of the show, you guys noticed he gave me some shit about a noise. Here's what the noise was. I put my elbow on a pen, and my elbow rolled off like that.
Right.
That was the disturbing noise. There it is again.
Why do you have to do that? Why did you put your elbow on a pen?
It was an accident. I didn't.
Accident.
What the fuck? I intentionally put my elbow on my pen and it slipped off. Like I was.
You don't know you nearly as well as you know other people. Honest to God, Drew.
No, I'm fidgety.
You
I know that.
You may be book smart, but I'm fucking intuitive.
No, I'm fidgety. I get that. And I'm OCD. By the way. Triskaidekaphobia, ever heard of that?
Where you're pulling out your hair?
No, that's trichotillomania. This is trichotillomania. This is the year of triskaidekaphobia.
What's going on?
Fear of number 13.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
What are we getting back into that shit for?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean...
Like ancient man?
Well, I know...
Medieval man?
Well, I know as things get safer, we... get more superstitious, and I know also is we get less Judeo-Christian and just more atheist. Atheist meets no problems, meets superstitious and ghosts and, karmas and peanut allergies and fucking service dogs. And by the way, Drew, I've been talking about this service dog thing for, 2 months.
You mean?
It's off. It's game on. I told everybody, get ready. Get ready. People tweet me all fucking day long. Just got off a flight with 3 dogs on it. Disneyland was chock-a-block filled with service dogs. Hench, the aforementioned Kevin Hench, shot me a message yesterday that said he picked up his nieces and nephews from the airport. 5 dogs on one flight. It's a fucking kennel.
Seems like you could do a comedy film about service dogs. It's getting so pervasive.
It's on.
Yeah.
It's on. Now, like I said with these fucking helmets that change your cranium when you're 6 years old, they didn't exist, and now everyone needs one? I don't think so. The flights were dogless a year ago. Now it's fucking on. And by the way, when people, we've now created a society where we've thrown everything out the window. Oh, dig it, Drew.
Dig this?
Dig it. Dig what I'm going to put down. Dig what I'm putting down. This could be heavy.
This could be boss.
It could be boss. Just dig this. Dig this. We're turning everybody into criminals in a certain way because dignity is no longer a factor and it's about the bottom line.
It's about the technicalities, yeah.
Meaning,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meaning you say this. You tell everybody, hey, we're the government and we need 20% of your income to go toward the roads and the schools and the military. And you go, yeah, okay. I'll do that. But when it starts getting to 50% and over, I need myself an offshore account in the Cayman Islands. And I need a very creative guy talking about, that my office at home, that's my work office. That's it. So, but what you start doing is you kind of force people in a weird way to act amorally or become criminals.
There's actually an economic model about that. There's actually a threshold after which people start focusing on avoiding taxes.
Right. It's like 33% or something like that.
No, it's it's where it's going now, where people really start.
Right. Okay. But the point is this. You start going, hey, you can't fly with that dog. Or if you do fly, if you do ship your dog to Chicago with you, it's going to cost an extra $300 or something. You go, you know what? I'm going to get a note from my doctor. And this dog going to sit on my lap for free. So, I can go to Disneyland and wait in line for 2 hours. Or I can put my friend in this wheelchair and go right to the front of every line. So the two-hour line is now forcing people to get into wheelchairs who probably don't need to be in wheelchairs. The I can't find a place to park at the Costco is getting people to get the placard, the handicap placard. The I want to travel with my dog. See, we rely in society on people doing the right thing. You can talk about the cops. There's not enough cops. You can talk about the government or teachers or, you know, counselors or whatever it is. But ultimately, you rely on people to do the right thing. Otherwise, society comes undone. There's just not enough police or enough whoever. But when the government gets a little too demanding, then you do have a sense of, fuck them. I'll fucking do. I can tell you when it comes to building codes in Los Angeles, especially in the mountains where I live, in the hills where I live, it's like this fucking thing that the government is so greedy and so needy that the first mode I go into is how can I bootleg this shit? How can I get around them? If they were reasonable, I would not be in a how the fuck do I get around this? It's the sort of born-again Christian stepdad who's like, your curfew's 8 at night on Saturday. And she's like, but I'm 23. And you're like, 8 o'clock. Well, then you start sneaking out the window. Now, if he said it's midnight, then you'd be in by midnight. But he is too demanding.
Okay, so
and you start skirting that.
Here's a more interesting question. Why don't we behave like men and women used to and go, hey, this is tyranny. We're going to rise up. Fuck this.
We're too fat to rise. But I'm saying, I'm wondering if the overregulation,
it's tyrannical,
is that's causing tyranny. Everybody to go around. Like I said, you know, 25% flat tax, forget it. Take 25, move on, never think about it again. Get to 53%, and I got to hire a guy to try to get around your shit to get me down into the low 40s. That's it. So you're kind of turning me into not a criminal, but you're forcing me to do stuff that I probably wouldn't do had you not done this in advance.
It's
the same with the building department.
Right, so as opposed to being productive, everyone's worrying about dealing with the system, working the system. This is back to our
Hold that thought one second. I talked to Carson Daly about this, who lives in a beach community and had to put a swimming pool in his house. And he basically just said, I wanted to bribe the guy. I just wanted to give the guy 10 grand. It'd be the best 10 grand I ever spent in my life. Like, Carson Daly's the nicest non-criminal you ever meet in your life, but he didn't want to go through all the fucking soil, erosion, impaction, environmental, blah, blah, blah. He just realized, like, it's just fucking easier just to pay the guy.
Not easier. It's just impossible the other way. When it becomes impossible, people start thinking about it.
Basically.
Yeah.
Right.
Unrealistic. People have their own sort of internal thing of unrealistic.
It pushes you into that. And this thing, this dog thing, is a non-societal judgment thing, which is, oh, he's flying with his dog, then I can start flying with my dog. Well, if he gets to fly for free with his dog, well, I want to be with my dog.
Here we
go. It has gone from, I am telling you this, dogs on your average flight 3 years ago, one in every probably 350 flights, maybe 700 flights. It is now going to be one in every 5 flights.
Well, I think it's currently, it may be higher than that.
Well, if you did multiple dogs, like if you took 3 dogs per flight and spread that, we'd be at
one
even.
Yeah.
We'd be 1-1.
Yeah.
I really fucking mean it. 3 dog flight. Great band from the 70s. Yeah. They sung Eli's Coming.
Jeremiah was a bullfrog.
Jeremiah was a bullfrog. He was a service bullfrog. I brought him on a plane. I'm allergic to flies. And listen, it's getting to ponies. I'm telling you,
Ponies.
Ponies are going around. Oh, yes.
Oh.
It's just, listen, look, the point is you're a 23-year-old chick, you're 250 pounds, and we're not judging, and you're on a fucking flight with your dog, and we're not judging. Well, I'm here to tell you I'm doing plenty of judging. Jay?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, I've got an alcoholic mother who she started drinking again shortly before my brother, who is bipolar, committed suicide.
Yeah, boy. Hold on.
Yeah.
This is lose-lose, the alcoholic mother thing, because when a chick's an alcoholic, the only fucking good thing is you can fuck them. You know what I mean? Like, that's the only perk. It's a hell of a perk, but that's the perk. She's a blackout drunk, and I'm getting some.
But
when it's your mom, it totally slows you down.
It goes the other way.
Well, I'm just saying it slows you down.
I'm going to save this conversation for the next podcast.
Okay.
Because there's a rape video out there. It's a whole conversation we'll have next show. Not tonight. I don't have the energy to do this in 5 minutes. So. Okay.
All right.
So mom's an alcoholic. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You'll write that down.
And so how to get her treatment. She doesn't want to obviously stop. She's still grieving over, as we all are,
right.
of him right. killing himself.
Was she ever in recovery?
Yeah. So she had been drinking for many, many years, divorce, that type of thing. She was, I think just went to detox. It was like a 3-day detox.
So did you hear how he did not answer my question? Did you get that?
I did hear him not answering the question.
So she's never been in recovery.
I would say correct.
Okay.
Never been.
How old was your brother?
He was 33.
Oh, that's awful. You know what? One thing to keep in mind is there's a little lesson here. Those of you that know bipolars or have bipolar friends or relatives is that they're more likely to kill themselves in a manic state than a depressed state.
Oh, really?
Yeah, contrary to popular belief.
Well, I'd like to learn something as a member of this society. Was he being cyberbullied?
No, he was afraid that people were getting to him through the computer. So.
Too psychotic. So he's manic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was psychotic. He was manic.
Either way, someone needs to be punished.
Jeez.
Anyway, sad.
Yeah, it's awful. And so she's never been in recovery. Now she's got chaos in her life. She's got grief. She's got all this stuff going on. You know, the hardest thing of all, Jay, is to get her to want to get better. And when she's so despondent and the grief is so intense, it's a pretty hard line to walk. You know, if you could just get her back into treatment, but it's going to be, months of treatment to really get her going. Long periods of treatment and structured treatment. And you just got to, if you can, frankly, the best way to do it is throw in the car and take her to the hospital. You don't even like have conversations mm-hmm. about it. You just take her, you get out of the car at the admissions department and you go, we're going in.
When you say she fell off the wagon, how much drinking do you think she does?
It looks like probably 8 drinks a day, starting in the afternoon. But in the past, it was the morning start and mm-hmm. then all day.
So she's gone to an afternoon start.
Yeah.
What's her drink?
Wine, and then when we ran out of that, she found the rum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what's your situation? Are you living out of the house? You married?
Oh, yeah, married. We don't live in the same town, it's a remote trying to get help.
All right. So, Jay, I know this is not your disorder, but if you really want to help her, you go to a program called Al-Anon, get a sponsor. The funny thing about dealing with addicts is you have to have another person there supporting you. Even when I go in and work with patients, I always have a nurse with me or somebody with me. You know, mm-hmm. it's just like ever the myth of the Minotaur and Ariadne's cord. You know, you've got to have somebody there holding you, or you get sucked in. Or the Little Shop of
Study a lot of that Greek mythology in North Hollywood.
How about the Little Shop of Horrors? The plant. Yeah. If you go in the room with the plant, you go in the plant.
Right.
Unless somebody's there pulling you back out.
Right.
That's a perfect model for addiction. So in order to do what's good for your mom, you need that support of the Al-Anon program. And believe me, strangely enough, it changes the course of the identified patient and may have an impact on getting her into treatment. So she needs treatment for her grief, she needs treatment for her depression, and she needs treatment for her alcoholism.
And if she does keep going, I mean, if this doesn't work, let's get her on the Mangria. I mean,
I was so afraid you were going to say that.
Well, we're coming out with a white Mangria, number one. Number two, it's not what you call lose-lose. There's some upside to this, that you're keeping just a little wind in the sails of the pirate ship if she gets on to Mangria. And I'm saying, if she's going to continue to drink and you can't stop it, let's have her drink something that helps me. All right. Chris is our – you can go to buymangria.com if you want. Last call. Let's talk to Chris on line four. Chris?
How you guys doing?
Good.
Good. I was just calling because I know you guys were talking about stuff that's horrible for you, and I'm actually a musician, and my band was on a tour that was sponsored by Rockstar Energy Drink, and I know, Adam, you always say that Rockstars don't actually drink Rockstar Energy Drink. And
well, it's my Chevy celebrity theory. It's also my Chevy Malibu theory. No one who lives in Malibu drives a Chevy Malibu. Unless they're coming to clean the celebrity's house, it doesn't drive a celebrity. But yes,
yeah, and it's actually completely true, because what happened is this tour was sponsored by Rockstar Energy Drink, and the whole idea is, you know, they're wanting to brand the tour, and they had pallets and pallets of Rockstar Energy Drink at this.
Why does he keep saying Rockstar Energy Drink?
I don't know, Chris. I'm going to hang up on you then. Yeah,
you don't have to do that. I'm almost done.
Oh, what are you doing? Are you just getting a fucking plug-in for a product, or you have something
to say? I'm not. Okay, here's the thing. They had pallets and pallets of it. None of the bands would drink it. Nobody would drink it at all. So what they did is they took the pallets away, and they brought pallets in of the same cans filled with water, because all the bands knew this stuff was just awful for you.
Yeah.
And the bands would...
Listen, that's interesting, and that's true. And, look, Shaq doesn't drive a Buick. Surprise, surprise. Neither did Tiger Woods. Point is, these energy drinks, first off, when you're 24, do you need an energy drink? I don't feel like I needed one unless I was severely depressed, in which case it wasn't the drink that I needed. I needed some therapy. But all you need is movement and water at that age. And the notion that you need a fucking... I mean, I understand once in a while pulling an all-nighter, studying midterms, whatever they do over there in school, but supercharging douchebags. And that's, by the way, what all these energy drinks should say, like supercharging douchebags since 1999. All right. A good note to go out on. Drew, you're mensch, my friend.
Thank you,
people, for listening to the program and having it climb the charts over there on iTunes. You want to support the show, you can click through the Amazon link at Adam and Drew, and you can hit that page at adamcorolla.com, and give us a nice rating on iTunes, and watch us dominate the world. So until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.